Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. You can have your seat. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right, are you ready? Let's get right into it now. This is MMC. And we are looking at Christ to you. Praise the Lord. Christ to you. And as we study, you realize that God demands that you get excited at the thought of Christ to you. We'll learn that. Praise the Lord. But there are three sessions today, tomorrow, and then we have our Thanksgiving service on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I have some points that I want to share with you. Three big points for this session. And then there's a bonus. So remind me of the bonus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? Three big things. And just an intro of the whole camp. Hallelujah. But firstly, let me say this. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
don't fight with God for attention. After all, he's a jealous God. The word of God is God. So when his word is being ministered, don't fight the word for attention. What that means is that you have to put yourself together. You put your phone off if you need to. You're not walking up and down. You're not drinking. After all, we should be fasting. You're not drawing cartoons claiming you are writing. Because you would distract others. And instead of paying attention to God, they start looking at you. Do you want to compete with God? So don't fight God for attention when the word is being ministered. When we are done, you can do what you like. It's great. But while the word is being ministered, ensure you're not a source of distraction for others. As much as possible, even inspire others to listen to what God is saying. Praise the Lord. And so you pay attention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that clear?
Yes,
so don't fight for attention with God. All right. First point, getting the best out of the sessions. Getting the best out of the sessions. Now, if you noticed, last week, Wednesday, we started talking about really getting the best out of MMCM into Sunday, into this Wednesday. So let me try to wrap it up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Getting the best out of the sessions. Number one, expect God to talk to you. He told us. Can that fan be put off? Is it possible? Is it that one or that one? Thank you. He told us where two or three are gathered, he's there. So he's here right now. The Bible says Moses saw him that was invisible. He's invisible. How did he see him? And so he's invisible, but he's real. He's right here. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, remember, he's everywhere. But then he tells us, where two or three of you are gathered, I will pay attention. I'll be present. And so, when he's present here, expect him to talk to you. He told us in John 6, verse 35, he said, anyone who comes to him shall not hunger or thirst. They will live satisfied. So if he's here and we have come to him, we will live satisfied. Are you in this place? And we see that in the word. The Bible tells us women brought their children to him just to say hello. And the disciples were very upset. They rebuked the women. Those disciples were something else. And the Bible says Jesus was not happy about it. So he called them and he called the kids and he laid his hands on them. They were not expecting that. He did more. And he bless them. Oh, I wish you could follow their lives to see how it turned out. Are you in this place? He blessed them. So the women came to meet him and they left beyond satisfied. And so expect God to talk to you, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And expect him to minister to you, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it's throughout the word. There's nobody who met him that he didn't minister to them. So that's number one. Expect God to talk to you. So listen, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know, even the Pharisees with all their troubles, anytime they met him, he gave them the answer. Think about it. That's how generous he is. But you are not a Pharisee. You are a joint heir. And so expect him to talk to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Number two, when he talks to you, write down what he says to you. Okay. Now I know there's audio message. Are you in this place? But I said, write down what he says to you. That means, I'm not saying be a secretary. And start writing everything. Praise the Lord. Like I said, write down what he says to you. Be a secretary. And someone is writing down. No. The word that comes to you. Everybody can listen to the message afterwards. But as you're listening, you know that one was for you. Write it down. Let me show you. Go to Revelations. Revelations 1 verse 19. You'll like it. Revelations 1 verse 19. He says, now John has a vision. And he sees God. He sees Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He first of all faints. Then he gets up. Now Jesus wants to show him. This is in the spirit. It's not physical. Do you understand? That's why this instruction is quite strange. When he entered the spirit, he didn't say, hold on, let me take my notes. He didn't. Right? And if it's the realm of the spirit, the way we have so spiritualized the realm of the spirit, why does he need notes? Do you understand? So look at what Jesus says. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which have. Why didn't he say, don't worry, I will make you remember? Because writing down is important for a purpose. We'll go that, get that number three. So number two, when the word comes to you, write it down. Write it down. Don't say, I will listen to the message. Come on. Write down that word for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He made the memory. He can improve your memory. He could have improved John's memory. Yet he told him, write it down. And thank God he did. Have you read Revelations? It sounds like a strange dream. If he didn't write it down, he would not have known, or he would have doubted that he was dreaming. Sometimes when you listen to God's word, the word comes to you. It sounds so strange. It sounds too big. Write it down. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Write it down. So if you don't have a pen or a functioning phone, after this session, go and get one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why are you writing it down? Number three, because you would use the power of sight. Taught us by God. You would use the power of sight. And for that one, let me show you. I said, taught us. That means God taught us something and you would use it. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Hallelujah. It says, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. So God has instructed Moses, and Moses is talking to the children of Israel. And these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou... are you saying what I'm saying? And when thou liest down, and when thou risest... Hey, see how much he wants the word. See how much he wants you to commune with the word. So he's saying, listen, these words that you're listening, teach your children. Talk about them. That's the gist. When you go to visit someone, talk about the word. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. Don't talk about the economy. It's okay. All right? They're already talking about it. Talk about the word. He says, and when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when you're walking on the road, talk about the word.
Remember Jesus in the journey to Emmaus in Luke 24 with those two disciples? The Bible says they were walking on the way. He said it was on the road that he opened the scriptures. Did you know they had not gotten home? It was on the road that he started talking about the scriptures. With all the breeze, with all the noise. What an expression of God's word. So he says, listen, when you're walking, talk about the word. When you're lying down, you know that moment before the sleep catch you. Do you understand? Think about the word. Use your imagination. How blessed we are. You can imagine great things. Think about David. Try to use your imagination. I'm just helping you out. See the Red Sea parting. Sleep with that. Are you in this place? When you rise up, think about the word. All right, but that's not where I'm going to. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. What is he talking about? I need a simpler version, any version. Verse 8. Simpler one, do you have? Bind them as a sign on your hand. In other words, the word of God, he says, write them on your wrists. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Verse 9. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He wants them to what? See it. Are you in this place?
Yes,
in fact, some versions put, you know, you put it, you know, some of you have seen those handbands, haven't you?
Yes,
do you know it's from God? It was not a suggestion. He said, this is important for the word to enter your heart. He says, for the word to enter your heart, teach. Talk about it, then put it everywhere. Screensaver. Are you in this place?
Yes,
wallpaper. In your room. On the door. So that word that God ministers to you, when you write it down, move it to where you can always see it. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
he says that is how it would enter your heart. These are not options. These are methods. He's not saying option one, teach them. Option two, write them somewhere. No. In fact, later on, he tells you, listen, even on your clothes, make tassels. So anytime you touch them, in other words, he wants you to carry the word everywhere you go. Maybe branding on your shirt. Are you in this place? But I'm saying the word that comes to you today, write them everywhere. Use the power of sight. He knows when you see it, it would enter your heart. And when it enters your heart, the Bible says, out of your heart flows what? The issues of life. You see it, it enters your heart, it becomes your reality. Proverbs 4, verse 21. Proverbs 4, verse 21. He says, KJV now. Talking about the word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of. So if they don't depart from your eyes, they will be. Let them not depart. Never lose sight of them. Are you seeing that? Never lose. That's how you put it in your heart. Always see it. You check your phone for the time. Greater is he that is in me. That's the word to you. This is his method. Are you in this place? So three things. Getting the best out of the sessions. Number one. What's number one? So listen. And he has already started talking to you. Number two. Yes. Write down what he says to you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Number three. Use the power of sight. Use the power of sight. And because you're going to write down what God says to you, that means you have to pay attention. And you guys are already doing so well. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's number one, getting the best out of the sessions. Number two, our boasts and glory. Our boasts and glory. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you have a boast?
Yes.
What do you boast about? Praise the Lord. Have you ever boasted before? Come on, be honest. What did you boast about? You know, it's church now. Only church things. God is in me. Praise the Lord. In the bus, while talking to conductor, what did you boast about? When they refused to give you change. Do you know who I am? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Our boasts. We are supposed to boast. Put your phones on silent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Are you ready? We're getting to it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 says, "But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are..." Well, that means that if God tells you to do something that is foolish in the eyes of the world, it will work. He says he has chosen that to confound the wise. So that means in life, you should not even bother if the world thinks you're foolish. If the world sees you as weak. Their foolishness is God's wisdom. You should be concerned if they celebrate you as very wise. Are you seeing that? He says this is God's choice. He has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The weak things of the world to confound. Look at this mighty problem. You mean all you would do is give thanks? That looks weak, but it will confound the mighty. Are you seeing that? So don't join the world and start calculating that this doesn't seem reasonable. He says God has chosen. It is God's choice. That thing that is unreasonable is what God chose. It's what we will do. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Great. Verse 28. "And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen." Have you seen people despise us speaking in tongues? What are they even saying? Oh boy. See how they are fulfilling scripture. You have to despise me, oh. He says, when you despise me, I am sure God has chosen what I'm doing. So don't try to look nice to unbelievers. Do you understand? It says, "And things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, and things which are not." Hey! Listen, you might not have the job, right? Physically, it is not. But then you talk about it as though it's real. Are you in this place? They say, why are you talking about this? It is not. God has chosen that. Are you in this place? That future that is not. There is no way somebody can say this will be your future. You start talking about it. Why? Because God has chosen that. Are you in this place? There are people who want you to celebrate when you get the offer letter. Oh, but right now the offer letter is not. Are you in this place? But it says, God has chosen. That means that God wants you to talk about the invisible. Are you in this place? You can have your seat, please. It says, "And things which are not." Now, those of you at the back, sorry. I hope you're getting this. Are you in this place? It says, "Things which are not." To bring to naught. Things which are. In other words, they were real. Are you in this place? They were real. They were not observable by the human eyes. But God said, once you picked it. Hold on. This is remarkable. Do you know what he's saying? Hallelujah. Thank you. You can have your seat. Do you know? Wait, hold on. We didn't really finish it. He says, Things which are not have the potential to scatter reality. The unemployment is a reality. You can talk about the offer letter that is not, and it will change that unemployment. Do you understand? The lump in your body is a reality. But you can emphasize the healing that is not, and it will destroy the lump. Do you understand this thing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When he says are not, it means they are not observable. Are you in this place? But God has chosen that thing that is not observable to scatter that which is observable. Your condition that you might not like that is observable. Take the word that seems like it is not observable. He says it has the potential to do what? Destroy that which is observable. No wonder Jesus told the lame man, get up and walk. Are you seeing this thing now? He says, that's God's choice. God's choice was not to use what is seen. Do you understand? God's choice was to use that which cannot be seen to rearrange that which is seen. Interesting. This is not even the message. But this is great. This is great. Listen, listen. That future that seems like it is not manifest. Are you in this place? But you have seen it in your spirit eyes. Talk about it. Act like it. Be like Abraham. Are you in this place? He says he staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hold on. Please have your seat. Let's talk about Abraham a bit. His name was Abraham, exalted father. Are you listening to me? Listen, those in front are having a great time. Those of us at the back, please listen. The message is for you too. His name was Abraham, exalted father. He didn't have a child. So it's like when they call an old man Baba. He doesn't have children to call him Baba, but they do that out of respect. Then God said, listen, I have made you a father of many nations, so change your name. And he called him what? Abraham. In other words, father of. Now we're understanding why he did it. At the point he changed his name, he was not. Are you seeing that? He was not. He was not the father of one self. But God needed that which was not to bring to nothing that which was. So he changed his name. Everywhere they went, they remember he changed his name while he was old. Meaning that people already knew him as Abraham, the embarrassment. No wonder he chose that which is despised. Are you seeing that? The embarrassment. He's an old man. They know him. He doesn't have kids. They say, Abraham. He said, no, my name is Abraham. I have many children. That's what he's telling them. They say, good morning, sir. I have many children. But where are the kids? Do you want us to help us, sir? I have many children. But where are the kids? But the Bible says, the where, it was not. But he needed that to scatter the childlessness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't say, this is what I will like, oh, this is what I will, okay. But you cannot see it, oh, okay. But is that not a blessing for you now? It's a blessing for you. Are you seeing that? Speak it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 29. So that's a great one. 29. He says, that no flesh should glory in his. So this is why he did it. You can't say it's by common sense. Do you understand? Because the thing was not even in existence when you were celebrating it. That is not common sense. He says, because he doesn't want any flesh to glory in his presence. Now what does it mean? Does it mean he doesn't want anybody to glory in his presence? No. When he says flesh, it means that which is gotten by physical methods. All right? So 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him, that means it was his idea. Are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, hold on, this is KJV speak. I want to explain it. All right? He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. That means it was God's idea to put you in Christ Jesus. All right? Who of God is made unto us. Meaning that God's idea was put you into Christ Jesus. And then God decided that Christ will be something to you. Do you understand? Who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. So, this is the theme for the camp. Christ to you. Who is Christ to me? He is my wisdom. Christ is my wisdom. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my sanctification. Christ is my redemption. Praise the Lord. Colon, he continues. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So he has no issue with boasting. That's what glory means. He says he just doesn't want anything of flesh to boast in his presence. But he wants you to boast. Why? In the Lord. What are you boasting about? Christ is my wisdom. Meaning that I can boast that I have wisdom. Are you in this place? People might get offended, say this one is too braggadocious. No, God demands that I boast of who Christ is to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. So I have no confidence in the flesh, but I have the wisdom for the situation. Are you seeing that? So how are you so sure? God expects me to boast. You know, David stood before Goliath and he was boasting. Right? He was boasting. God didn't say, you proud. No, he was boasting in the Lord. He was boasting in the Lord. You know what I noticed as I read my Bible? There was no one who boasted in the Lord and was disappointed. It just never happened. It never happened. So he says, boast about who he is to you. He wants you to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So don't walk like you don't know what to do. This economy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I always think. Are we together? I always think how that I despise the idea that people that I don't know will set the conditions for my life. They say there is insecurity, so don't go out. Why should a criminal decide my movement? Do you understand? Did he bring me into this world? Why should I change my movement because of a criminal? Why should my economic situation be determined by some guys in Abuja that don't know me? Come on, I'm bigger than that. Do you understand? I'm bigger than that. Do they know me? Do I know them? I am not of this world. Christ is my wisdom. Hallelujah. Christ is my wisdom. Miraculous wisdom. In Mark 6, the Bible tells us he goes to his hometown. Are you in this place? And the Bible says, the people there said, what wisdom is this? That such mighty works are wrought in his hand. They knew the wisdom of this man was miraculous. Are you in this place? Yeah. Yeah. So number one, we talked about getting the best out of the session. Number two, our boast and glory. Our boast and glory. There's someone here after today's meeting. Rush home. Lock your room door. Begin to dance and celebrate. It's an instruction. It's an instruction. It's an instruction. And Leva, I think that word specifically is for you. It's for you. Have your seat. People can now say, what are you doing? He said, I'm celebrating that which is not. Are you in this place? Yeah. 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 So number two, our boast and glory. Number three, oh boy. Christ, our wisdom. So let's start. Right, there are four things there. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So let's look at wisdom. Christ, my wisdom. All right, an intro. Are you listening to me now? One of the things as a Christian, you must decide. You must decide. You must be resolved about. Are you in this place? Is that you don't know more than God. You must decide that. Else, you can't walk with God. You can't live the Christian life. You must decide, I don't know more than Him. So even if I'm going this direction, even if I think this way, and He shows me something different, oh, then I was wrong. Are you in this place? Don't try to adjust it and say, even if we cannot, no. Be a soldier for Christ. If I was going this way and He showed me something different, oh, I made a mistake. I will go this way now. You must decide that. And that means you don't know more than His word. His word is not a suggestion. Jesus never gave His opinions. We've learned that many times. He said everything He said and spoke was a commandment from God. It was never a suggestion. John 12 verse 49. Never. Everything He said was a commandment. And so when you're reading the words of Jesus, not some nice guy giving you an opinion or an option. No. He's commanding you. And so you don't know more than Him. So in life, as a Christian, learn to be humble. Go to James 4. James 4 verse 10. And always be prepared. Listen, one of the greatest joy in your life should be that God's word can correct you. You have to elevate your way of thinking. One of the greatest excitement in life should be that God's word can correct you. That this was what you thought though until I saw something different. And you're so excited. Because see how you're fellowshipping and walking with the word. You see, the word is no longer some abstract manual. He has become real to you. You mean this is what I thought, but Jesus said differently. Be excited about it. Don't be among those that when the word of God comes, but it doesn't fit what they like, they ignore it. That is not humility. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. In His sight, humble yourself. Remember, PB read something devotional. It says, all things are open to the eyes of Him. We were talking about the word. So humble yourself before the word. You don't know more than the word. Are you in this place? Yes, yeah, go to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Quickly. The same thing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mercy of God. Now, you know, I like it. He says, humble yourself is a conscious action. Are you seeing that? Yes, it's not a natural thing. It's a conscious action. So don't think, oh, you just see me being humble. No, you make a conscious decision to be humble. It's not always come naturally. You make a choice. Go to Luke 14 verse 11. Let me explain further. Jesus even explains it for us. He says, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be what? Exalted. Let's look at the whole story. I was going to share it, but let's read it together. Go to verse... Just give me a second. Verse 7, quickly to 11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidding when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, now listen, Jesus was invited to eat after the Sabbath, the chief Pharisee's house. Do you understand? Yes, but you know, when a popular figure is going to visit someone and you can enter, many people were entering. Do you understand? Yes, So you had a lot of people. But some people were unique. They were going for the high table. You know, it's like you come for a ceremony. Are you in this place? And then you have the high table. Some people were going for the high table. Go back to that verse 7. Right? And, you know, it was observable that there were some issues there. All right? So he's going to teach them something. Verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room. This is an instruction. I told you, not give suggestion. It's for all of us. You go to a wedding, even though your name is on a high table, don't sit there first. Are you in this place? I've told you now. Sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. Verse 9. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest. He's warning you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You saw your name. Your me. You ran to the high table. You didn't ask for the surname. You balanced. You are drinking juice. The person who invited you and the real Yomi comes. And everybody is now seated. Then he says, please excuse. You are going. They are all looking at you. Jesus said, truly, you have shame. Don't lie. You'll be ashamed.
Not you.
He said, not me. Not you. Okay. Verse 10. So what do you do? You do what he says, right? Okay. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. That's why I'm always at the back. All right. I'm joking. He says, but go and sit down in the lowest room. That's when he that bade thee cometh. That when, not if, when. When. It will happen. When he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto the friend, go up higher. Then shall I have worship. You know, he knows men. He knows people like praise. You understand? You say, who is that important person going up? Oh, yeah. Then shall I have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Verse 11. For whosoever else, so he says, it's a choice. Even though you think you should be in the front seat, you choose the back seat. Humility is a choice. Even if you think, this is what I know, this is what I've believed, you choose God's word. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
You choose God's word. And so, the first thing you must decide as a Christian is that you don't know more than God. And change your expectation. Be happy if God's word can correct you. It means something good is happening. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know more than him. You don't know more than him. Learn from Jesus. Are you ready? John 17, John 1 verse 1. John 1 verse 1. Then we'll go to John 1 verse 14, all right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, Jesus is the Word, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the Father, full of grace, and so, the Word, Jesus, was made flesh, and he was full of something. Grace and... So what is truth? John 17, verse 17. Let's just go through the scriptures together. I'll explain everything, right? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Uh-oh. He is the word of God, but he was full of the word of God. Does that make sense here? He is the word of God, and he is full of the word of God. The Bible says we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abided. So you're born of the word. So be full of the word. Are you seeing it? So it wasn't just, you know, it's not automatic. Say, now I'm born of the word, everything I do is the word. No. You must get the word inside of you. And be full of the word. Are you in this place? I said, Christ, our wisdom. You don't know more than God. So Jesus, we are learning from Jesus as an example. He was full of the word. And that was all he ministered to people, the word. And he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have. So there's a way to do life. He said, I'm doing it. Follow me. Are you in this place? So whatever he was full of, I have to be full of too. That's how to do life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And so you follow him. He was full of the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And go to John 18, verse 37. Let me show you something. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto. But what is the truth? The word. He says his whole existence, why he came, was to minister the word. If we are following him and learning how to do life from him, we also, he has already defined why we are here. To minister the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And how we lived that life. Think about it. We are saying that Christ is our wisdom. You don't know more than God. And Jesus truly lived that life. Do you know? Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Before Jesus came, there were great philosophers. Do you know that? Like who? Some of the most popular for Socrates, right? Aristotle. You guys know them all. Well, those are the popular ones. Plato. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me show you some in the Bible. 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4, verse 30. Some popular names. This was before Jesus. It says, and Solomon's wisdom, I'm talking about Solomon. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East. So you had these children of the East that were known to be very wise. Do you understand? In those days, it says, Solomon's wisdom was more than that. And all the wisdom of Egypt, his wisdom was more than the wisdom of a country. Interesting. Verse 31. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahites. You see, we know Aristotle. Do you know Ethan, the Ezrahites? Now you do. And Haman, not that wicked one. And Chalcol. Wow. Chalcol has been elevated. And Dada. Wow. Dreadlocks have been elevated. The sons of Mahor. So I'm trying to say that before Jesus came, you had these great guys, these popular men. Are you in this place?
Yes,
they were known. So you would wonder, for him to prove to us that he's the Son of God and he knows all things, maybe he should quote them sometimes. After all, he knows all things. But you notice, every time he answered a question, he stuck to the scriptures. He stuck to the scriptures. He didn't say, like Ethan the Ezrahite said. No. Why? Because you don't know more than God. You don't know more than his word. And no man knows more than his word. So why waste time? He was full of truth. If Christ is your wisdom, you will exemplify his life. Everything he said was found in scriptures. That Luke 14, verse 11, I just showed you that Jesus said that if you're going somewhere, don't go and stay in front. Right? Let me show you where he got it. Go to Proverbs. Verse 25. Verse 6. Proverbs 25, verse 6. Put not forth thyself in presence of the king, as thou in presence of great men. Verse 7. For better it is that his face said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower. In the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have
seen.
Is that not what he said? And so he stuck to the word. He could have quoted Aristotle for us. No, he wanted the word to be in your mind. And if everything he did was a commandment from God, it means that this was what God wanted. This was God's command when he came to meet him. I said, Master, should a man put away his wife for any cause? He could have said, according to Ethan the Ezrahites, there is a way. Stubborn way, good way. But what did he say? From the beginning, it was not so. What is written in your law? He stuck to the word. The Bible tells us that the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they came to test him with a strong question. They said, a man married a woman and he died. And Moses said, if a man dies, his brother should marry the woman. So the man married the woman, he died. His brother, and the man had seven. The second one married the woman and died. The third one married the woman and died. From here, you should know the story, ask Caleb. Right? Because Judah, the Bible tells us, had three sons. The firstborn married a woman and he died. The second one married her and he died. The third one, Judah said, no, you're not marrying her. So now they are coming to test you. It says, the first one married and died. Second one died. Third, is it all the seven? They say, the resurrection. You know, they don't believe in resurrection. So they're trying to play a trick in Jesus, right? At the resurrection, whose wife will she be? It's not today. People started thinking about marriage in heaven. You know, there are some people who, the reason why they blow themselves up, because they say they've been promised virgins in heaven, is not new. It's been there since. See their mind. He said, okay, which wife will she be? And Jesus said, let's go there. Matthew 22. See the kind of question they were bringing to Jesus. Think about, when they brought this question, he could have given lots of examples. After all, he's God. He knows all things. He would have quoted a lot of different people. Was Ethan married? Are you in this place? He would have said Solomon had. Do you know that? Like, so many things. But look at what he said. Matthew 22. Let's start from 28. Okay, 27. After the woman has killed everybody, last of all, the woman died also. Praise the Lord. 28. Therefore, so they're asking Jesus, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing this. He takes them back to the scriptures. Not the power of God. Are you in this place? He says, because in the resurrection, they don't marry. So this question is pointless. If it actually happened, there will be no fight in the resurrection. Because they are all like angels. Praise the Lord. And then to prove to them that the resurrection existed, oh, you love this. Because they did not believe in the resurrection. Because there are people today that don't believe in the resurrection. Are you in this place? There are people that believe in some weird stuffs. So to prove to them the resurrection existed, he still stuck to the word. Let's look at this. Verse 31. So he's going to address their matter. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, verse 32, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. My point is, he really knew. He didn't know more than God's word, even though he himself was God's word. So, Christ is your wisdom. You don't know more than Christ. Stick to Christ. Are you in this place? Concerning your situation, you might be the one experiencing it, but you don't understand it more than Christ. So do what he says you should do in that situation. Are you in this place? You say it's money you need. Christ says give thanks. You don't understand it more than Christ. If it's your wisdom, that's wisdom for the situation. So give thanks. Are you in this place? Yeah. Christ is your wisdom. There is no wisdom outside the word of God. Anytime, for example, when he said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Which examples did he give? He talked about the widow, right? The woman at Zarephath that gave Elijah drink. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
She was not an Israelite. Why? Because the Israelites do not appreciate Elijah. So he's trying to say a prophet, normally in his house, nobody appreciates him. He uses the scripture. He brings the word to their mind. If this is the God that will judge you and your decisions, you better follow him. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So there is no wisdom outside of Christ to you. So look at this. In this Bible, you have the answer to every situation. And he says, boast about it. Are you in this place? Boast about it. Boast about it. You know, one of the things we're going to do in the second session is to meditate on the word. We'll talk about that a bit. All right? And one of the things we learned in today's devotional is that every word of God is potent. Every word of God is potent. You know, at times we say, when you have this situation, look for that example in the word. And it's good. It's good. But the reason why it will work is not because of the example. It's the word. Do you understand? That's why it will work. It's not because of the example in itself. The potential is not in the example. It's because it's in the word. It's like Naaman, right? That he meets Elisha. And Elisha says, go and dip yourself down in the River Jordan. Praise the Lord. Is it about dipping yourself in the river? If it's like that, swimming pool. Do you understand? The power for his healing was not in dipping in the water. It was in the word. And so because I know the word of God is wisdom, potent, beautiful for any situation, no matter what I'm facing, if they said something in the office, say, okay, close your bag, your purse, go back home. Say, I'm going back to the word. There is wisdom. I will know what to do.
Yes.
Are you in this place? I will know how to behave. I will know how to respond. He says, boast about it. In that office, boast about it. Are you in this place?
Yes.
There are people that say, nobody can sack me. Oh, you know, they sack Minister Pekin. They know they sack chosen generation.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
Boast. Let your boast be in the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have you learned something today?
Yes.
Just say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Christ is my wisdom.
Christ.
There is no wisdom outside the word. And so I rejoice. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Christ is your wisdom. At any given moment, you will know what to do. You will know what to do. Leko brade sita bako shara mandeli krados reko suta bakese igladesha reko suto bakase cheli barababa reko suka barado shara babababa reko suke barada lebo ko sute barada reko sute barada la kasoto bakasi cheli brados leko suka barade skarado shara mande reko suko baka. Amen. We've already received wisdom, generic wisdom, when we learned that God uses that which is not to bring to naught the things that are. And the Bible says, he called those things which are not as though they are. And so, this is wisdom from God. That situation that seems like it is not in your life, it's time to call it forth. Call it forth so it will scatter the reality that is, that you do not like. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues.